Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at the mining in Durban, which has just wrapped up in Cape Town. At the start of every year, the mining industry, mining community, mining stakeholders gather to actually just sit and talk about and to observe what's happening in the broader industry. And we are doing the same, post, you know, the event, but looking at it more from a technology and technology investment point of view. And to help us to unpack that, we are joined by the CEO of Siemens Sub-Saharan Africa, Sabina Dielamo, and just to get a sense of what happened there. So I think a good place for us to start, before maybe getting into technology and technology investment in the mining industry, is to get your sense. You've just come back from the mining in Durban. I've never been to the mining in Durban, fortunately or unfortunately, but I'd like to imagine that it's kind of like the telecoms and technology version of that is the Africa Tech Festival that happens at the end of the year. And that is a huge, conference. You take over both sides of the Cape Town Convention Center, and there's so many keynote addresses, so many side events, so many dinners, breakfasts, lunches, all of this stuff. And I remember my first year going there, it was like almost deer in the headlights. But after that, I was like, I now know you go there with a purpose, right? And you there are things that you either specifically go for and you can take away. So from your sense, what were you hoping to get out of this year's mining in Durban? And then, but then on the other side of that, what did you actually end up walking away with?
Yeah, so I just to tell you, it is like that. They also had both sides of the convention center used, and there were a lot of side events, but also discussions, different showcasing, innovation hubs, but also sustainability aspect, disruptive discussions. So it's for us as well, going to the mining in Durban is connecting with people working in that field of the industry. Also understanding, and that's the reason why we went, is understanding what are their priorities for the next year to come until we meet there again. So the mining in Durban organizer already had set a few topics, and I mentioned already one is the sustainability drive, one is disruptive technologies within the mining industry, but also the investment showcases. And what I find particularly interesting when you think about the mining in Durban, you have content-driven panel discussions of experts in the field, which give you a holistic view of a certain agenda point. For instance, rare minerals, why there are rare minerals, what does it mean to be a rare mineral, for whom. But then you also have the showcasing of countries, but also companies. And that's very important for us because that will drive where we also would put our focus on. If I now, for instance, know what Harmony's outlook is, what they want to do, how they want to transform the company, or Anglo-American, then it will help us as well to understand what are their priorities and what kind of technology what we have to offer would be a possibility to help to solve their challenges they might see or improve their productivity. Yeah? So what I walked away with, so that is normally for us why we go, because having that network and in the mining industry, you will see a lot of people which you have seen many times already, reconnecting and refreshing some of the links from the last year is always very helpful. And I think that is one also the intent of the mining in Durban, beside of providing the information, but is It's more like the connectivity between the stakeholders, bringing people together, and having that exchange. So it's a fantastic place to do so. And you have obviously the government officials which are also participating, which is very helpful because you can shortcut some of the discussion because everybody's there. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So other than when you go back home and try to resolve it by yourself. What you walk away with is I was really surprised on how much effort mining houses will put forward on the topic of sustainability, on the topic of digital transformation, using artificial intelligence and large language models in their mining application, getting also good understanding of mines which have been recently developed. Like for instance, Kamoa mine in the DRC from Ivanhoe, what their lessons learned out of that exploration is, and how they could achieve productivity gains just by using technology, and it's assuring because that's what Siemens does, right?
Mm. Actually, on that point of what Siemens does, depending on which side you look at them. Siemens, I've typically known them as because I cover telecoms, or from the networking point of view. The last time that you and I spoke, which was a couple of years ago, we were talking about management, I believe, of water assets and that type of thing, in South Africa using technology. When it comes to the mining industry, what's Siemens' interest in that particular, what you call this, in particular space? Is it across the board, or is there maybe a specialized area in that sector that you guys have perhaps created solutions for?
Yeah, so for us, it's really in the mine operation, yeah? So the physical assets in the field, which need to be controlled and moved and operated. So here, our technologies, our automation technology, controlled instrumentation, but also drives technology comes in. Then everything what needs to move and requires electricity will also assist with, for instance, the low voltage and medium voltage equipment, with the microgrid, the mine runs by itself, because remember, mines are normally not so close to the grid, particularly if you go outside of South Africa. You have a lot of areas where electricity has to be managed by the mine themselves. And then one part, and as you will have seen, I mean, Siemens obviously has done some strategic divestments, but we also have done strategic investments. And when you look at our strategic investments, which we have done over the last year since COVID, then you will see it's very much in the field of software development, simulation software for digital twins, but also co-pilot operations in partnership with Microsoft Azure, for instance, where we have application in the mines to help also to simulate certain processes. Because when for us, we want to assist the customer, the mining house, to have the highest productivity they can get out of the mine, and so therefore you need to optimize the fleet. Yeah, and the other part is you also want to help them to take the right decisions in any way of the process of their operation, but also starting to think about preventive maintenance and not anymore reactive. Something breaks, you repair, but rather having a forward-looking outlook on what kind of maintenance is required, how can I schedule it so that you can optimize also your downtimes? Because when a mine doesn't operate, there is no production, so you have standing times and losses. So what we do is, and here particular our software, which can assist with the a twin technology, a digital twin of the operation, and when you want to train your staff on, for instance, what will they see underground? How is the operation underground? What are the pitfalls? What are the health and safety risks? What are the production risks? What kind of equipment is moving down there? And help them really to understand what kind of training they require in order to handle the situation once they go underground, but also assisting if they do upgrades, you know, what could be the cost attached to it, so that they can put proper proposals to the financial or the shareholders, depending on how big the investment is going to be, and have them at a first glance get a good understanding what the profit will be they are going to get out of it.
You know, the most interesting thing about the mining industry as a whole, especially when it comes to technology, and especially some of the areas that people are afraid of, and when I say afraid of, I mean from a job security point of view, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, certain types of technologies are here to take away, you know, human jobs. When you talk about automation, robotics, and now the AI discussion. But what's more interesting about the mining industry is that the mining industry is one of the few industries that literally wants to reduce human involvement, especially when it comes to some of those underground, you know, operations, drilling, operating, that type of thing. How do you see that particular space evolving? I believe, you know, Siemens Research expects that, you know, up to 30% or 40% you know, of mining equipment will be, you know, fully autonomous in the next, you know, couple of years. How do you see the role of the human element evolving, you know, in that space?
Yeah, I mean, look, we already touched on it, and what we currently expect is like that 40% by 2040 of the tasks will be autonomous. And it makes sense to a large extent, because if you think about underground mining and you go to 4 kilometers down, it is hot and it's very difficult for humans to be effective down there. So it's also not right to have that. But I mean, obviously in the context of South Africa and Africa, job preservation is a big aim, and the unions, but also the governments want to see that as many people as possible are part of the value stream. But if we look at mining, and I mean, we had last couple of days again the discussion around, you know, health and safety and fatalities in mining. You want to have all of your employees coming back home in the evening the way and how they came to work in the morning. And in some of the tasks, it is obviously much more challenging. And so from an automation or autonomous side, there are a few applications, like for instance in an open pit, you know, the trolleys, they can go basically autonomous because you can manage the network relatively easy, and they don't need brakes. They can run the whole day, and it's also quite a boring task. Plus, you can use basically the computer 24/7, as you have a continuous operation. So there are quite a number of jobs which I also think from a health and safety and from a security point of view, but also reality is from a productivity point of view, you will have to automate just in order to reduce the cost on it. Because you must always think, in Africa, we are not like in an island. We live in a connected world. The mining companies work in a connected world. They work in global markets, and they need to be competitive. Yeah? And I mean, if you think about a product is handled on an exchange and it has like a certain value, the only way on how you can improve your profit if you work on your productivity. Yeah? But the discussion really, when I also zoom back a little bit into the mining in Daba, the discussion at the mining in Daba was very much around beneficiation and how would we be able to basically bring more qualitative jobs into, you know, the full value chain of mining. Yeah. And I think there is the answer, because what is happening as soon you increase, you know, the level of qualification required for jobs associated with mining, you also increase the salary level, what means you increase the taxes the government receives. And so in totality, you lift up society because you can afford more. And that was definitely one point a lot of companies, specifically in the mining environment, and not yet really keen off, because they are miners and they're not, you know, for instance, companies which take the next step of the product. A lot of the processing activities are also not necessarily available currently, but the discussion really much is around how can we take potentially a downsizing on, you know, semi-skilled and skilled laborers due to automation and autonomous technology coming into the mine, into, for instance, a processing activity, and so shift them over to have also a higher share in the production of the full product, if you take, for instance, iron ore. No?
Yeah, it does sound like one of those things that probably needs some type of firstly concerted effort from private sector players, but also political will from the public sector, right? Because it makes perfect logical sense, right? You have a base of people that have knowledge, understanding, and, you know, deep experience when it comes to the extractive part of mining. And as we are working to reduce human involvement on this side, you know, let's, you know, push them, you know, on this other side, whilst at the same time increasing beneficiation, you know, which would help, you know, South Africa earn more from the minerals, because a lot of that is being done offshore, right? Perfect case, makes logical sense, but actually making it happen on the ground, you know, I'm sure it's probably is probably a tall order. So with that piece in mind, what type of engagements then are you having, whether it's with government or whether with, you know, your private sector players? I mean, how much influence can a Siemens have? Because I'm sure there's, in the dialogue, companies come to you guys, you know, wanting solutions for their problems. You also go to them and suggest things to say, you know, maybe you guys could change your process in this particular way. What's the engagement that you're having when you're talking to leaders in the mining sector?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, as you already rightly say, I mean, you can't jump start this kind of process from 0 to 100% overnight. So it does require to have, you know, access to certain partners which are familiar with it. The mining companies, and I think the biggest engagement is here with government, because they have first and foremost the highest interest to keep more value add in country, because, as I said, it already increases the tax base and you will have a higher stake in the value chain overall. So with government is important to attract these companies which would be able to do the processing, because the mining companies are unlikely that they are going to do it, because they're good to bring product to the surface or out of the ground, but they're not necessarily companies which can run processes, because it's also quite a different industry. And to attract these kind of companies to the African continent, I think, is something where we also specifically, through our connections which we have in the market, through the influence which we have globally as a multinational, where we assist. Because one thing what we see is, and I mean, look, the world order is currently in change to an extent, and so you will see also companies looking at how can I secure my product. And if you think now Europe, they make efforts, like, for instance, Volkswagen, to find resources here, to have partnerships on the continent, which they can use for their supply chain and then basically deploy it back into the European supply chain. And these are the shooting stars currently. It needs much more. But it also means that, for instance, like industries, like we now have the discussions with the steel manufacturing in South Africa, yeah, so that it doesn't go off, that certain parts of plants are not shut down. I'm not sure if they have resolved it yet, but there we have an intact value chain. Yeah, so that means also we need to see that we make manufacturing in South Africa a high energy product, affordable, and that comes first of all with affordable energy prices, yeah, and a discussion like was at the mining in Daba with Minister Mantashe, there was a discussion around the proposed price hike of Eskom. And obviously that's not acceptable for a high energy using industry. So you might get then your problem there sorted, but you create yourself a whole host of other problems because all of a sudden people, and I'm not talking about private people, but for companies, electricity becomes too expensive to have still later on a competitive product put in front of the door. Yeah? And unfortunately, things are all interconnected with each other. You can't look at, some topics just in isolation and see how I resolve one problem, because solving one problem creates you maybe 10 other. So I think that's one part which can make South Africa very attractive. And we see this in some other industries, for instance, in the data center industry. Yeah? Because if you think data center, what do they need? They need lots of energy and they need lots of water. They are hungry and thirsty. And but they have also the demand to decarbonize, because currently the backup solution, if the grid doesn't provide electricity, is sometimes a little solar, but wherever you drive past a data center, you see massive diesel generators and pipes, and they look sticking out because that's a redundant system to ensure in case there is no electricity. But, with large language modules and artificial intelligence coming in, they need so much more data space and they need so much more power. What means, if you look at Africa, if you want to have then green electricity for your data centers, because your consumers are going to ask for it, the African continent is an ideal place because we have the space for the data centers and we can produce affordable, most cost-effective green energy. And the same is valid for mining companies. The same is because mines, same like data centers, they have to run 24/7 and 365 days a year. And they cannot have downtime because that's what the operation is about. Yeah? And you need to ensure that safety is also provided. If you have people working underground, you want to make sure that they have oxygen, that they have ventilation, that they can come out. Yeah, and these topics are obviously very critical.
Yeah, and like you said, these topics are very critical. And I guess it's good that at least people are having the discussions and the conversations around some of these issues. But I wanted to maybe take a step back to maybe understand the place for Siemens strategically. What is the place of mining in your portfolio in South Africa? Because to my earlier point, the last time we spoke to you, we were talking about water. Today we're talking about mining, and you guys are servicing a number of different industries. So the place of mining in the Siemens universe, in the country.
Yeah, for us, mining takes the space between 20% and 25% of the total business we do, and that's in the automation field, but also in supporting the electrical distribution at the mine. And mining for us is very critical because you have obviously mining, which is problematic on a global scale, and that is coal mining, right? Even there, you see in South Africa, because we are a non-OECD countries, we have a little bit longer time until 2050 to decarbonize on coal. And that will get us to a point where we are not that reliant on coal anymore. But I mean, it's early days, 25 years to go. But for us, mining is important because what we see in the mining industry, because they are working now with new industries, as I said, the data center industry, the green transport industry, they haven't been there a few years ago to that extent. And so the demand onto mining companies becomes a complete different one in comparison to what they had, for instance, to report to their customers. The whole topic of environmental, social, and governance, ESG, becomes important. And we spoke about water last time. Water consumption is important because without water, lots of mining is not possible. So you all of a sudden have a system which needs to track all of these things in order to have an effective operation. And so for us is really helping from, say, the installed base within in the plant through our control and instrumentation technology, as I already said, but also our electricity, microgrid, grid management of the mine operation. That is for us a vital technology we provide. And helping the client at the end of the day to comply with all of this legislation. Because if you think like the legislation they have to fulfill to export to the European Union, and for South Africa, the European Union is the biggest market. Yeah, more than 30% of whatever we make goes to that single market. And so we don't want to lose them because, you know, with other markets maybe a bit shaky due to other reasons. You want to keep your biggest market happy because that's what generates your revenue at the end. And so helping to be compliant with the requirements for import of the product or of the commodity in that case, that our technology can do and basically help to take the analytics out of the plant, put the report together, give a statistic, which is then also not only like a, you know, a traffic light report, but something which you can use for export papers. You can show to the authorities, you know, how did you produce your good or your commodity in that case. And that are new requirements. And unfortunately, this is evolving so fast and so, you know, deep in your operational process, when you look at just carbon emission in scope 1, 2, and 3, that you can't do it anymore manually. And there we see a major advantage, and there we have also solutions which we offer where our technology can, you know, generate that data, which can be then uploaded into a database and used for that purpose.
Mm. You know, one of the things I was thinking about now is, because there's so much opportunity for use of technology and it's already there, how advanced is South Africa, I think, relative to, I guess, its peers? Because we always talk about how South Africa is a big player when it comes to certain industry, platinum, gold, you know, those types of sectors. But when it comes to use of technology, I've read some reports that suggest that Australian mining operations are probably, you know, on the cutting edge when it comes to, you know, use of technology. But, you know, you're actually in the sector, so you can, you know, let us know.
Yeah, I think Australia is doing pretty well. I mean, from a reference side for us, Chile is doing good because they have a lot of new mine exploration in the copper field. And I think the advancement in technology is also depending on how old your assets are. Because if you think about, you have a new mine and you explore that new mine, so that mine will run for 50 years. So to do the implementation of the most digital and sophisticated technology is much easier in the early days because you will still recoup your investment. Well, if you have a mine which is already, you know, at more to the end of the lifetime, then it's unlikely that the company will invest a lot of money in upgrading it. Because if you think about the people which run the mine currently, they know very well of what's going on there. So there are not so many secrets. Even maybe with a digital solution, you are able to tell a mine manager who works there for 20 years what is going on, because they have from the KPIs and the processes they know, the staff will know what the risks are. There is less intention. And unfortunately, when we look at some of our mines, they are rather, you know, a bit older than new exploration. We didn't have so many new exploration in South Africa. But every time you basically have, like, for instance, in Botswana, you have another cut maybe at Orapaya, that automatically will become, you know, more digitalized, more intelligence. And the real investment lies in where we see quite a bit going in is in finding out what kind of ESG KPIs they have to fulfill and to which markets they are going to export. And there they're willing also to put, you know, money in for digital solutions to help them to get exactly that data out of the mine. But in general, it's a mixed bag. And I do believe with the focus on Africa, and this is what makes me very confident, is there is so much potential from the ores, but also other minerals which are here in Africa available, which are needed for the energy transition and for our technology transition, which we have all to participate in, that you will see more new mining operations coming along. And once you have that, you would start, you know, with a digital simulation of your mine and just to get a good understanding. And so build on that and make it really an intelligent digital mine.
I actually like that you brought that particular aspect up, because South Africa's mining industry, at least a big part of it, is still the traditional elements, you know, the gold, the platinum, you know, all of those, especially the PGMs and the gold. But we are seeing, you know, a surge in, you know, some of the other mining activities, especially in what you call this, in your neighboring countries, things like your lithium, you know, to your point about our technology, you know, those minerals with the for the batteries and all of that stuff. Are you engaging and servicing, you know, those types of customers in the region, regionally?
We do. And I mean, look, the reality is that, you know, we want to repurpose and reuse. And for us, for instance, within Siemens, we have embarked a while ago on having our projects and products designed with the purpose of reuse and repurpose. But, you know, everything what is older didn't have that in the consideration, because it wasn't a circular economy, wasn't part of our consideration. But if you think about lithium and lithium batteries, we don't really have a cost effective way to recycle it. It's quite pricey, and the product is not as good what you get out than when you mine it. So we will see for quite a while, if you want to do that transition on, say, a digital transition, but also an energy transition, that you will need new products out of a new commodity being mined in the traditional way, and that you only can do if you explore more mining ground. And there we want to be part of it, and we also would service our customers there.
I like that, especially the what you call this, the reusing element. It's definitely a good one, especially when you have a ramping up of mining activities that are in a different part of the area. You still want to remain relevant and grow, you know, as those things happen. As we're ending off, two things. The first one is, it's something you alluded to earlier on, and it's AI, and you also alluded to digital twins, right? This issue of this idea of a simulation that you can have. We have simulations across a lot of different industries. Probably some of the biggest ones is in aviation, you know, that a person get, people literally have to be trained in a simulated environment as part of their certification and to keep up with their skills, new models, etc. And it sounds like the same happens, you know, when it comes to mining. What you were saying earlier on about giving people a sense of what's happening underground, all of that stuff. Curious to understand if AI has an impact to make any of those digital twins or simulations any better, or have we sort of plateaued with that technology? A simulation is a simulation.
Well, I mean, look, with the development we see, I mean, that in the mining and in all large industrial operation, you have a huge amount of data, and so the difference between like an industrial operation and for instance an aeroplane, the amount of data points you have to consider in the simulations are so much more. And AI will help us, because it will help us to, you know, take out the relevant information which you need to make it more presentable for the user, to get quicker to, you know, for instance, the safety concerns, to certain things which they don't have to first read the whole book or listen to the whole video. Yeah. So, and that's one part. It will be more on point. And from that point, I do would think it will make it easier in the long term. I mean, we don't know what is still in development, but looking just, you know, reflecting to the back mirror what we have made in the various levels of industrial transformation, where we'll see even faster one going forward. And the other part is particular on the simulation and the digital twin, that will become more reliable all the time. And so what we see, what the end model out of it will be, so you will simulate, say, a new process, then you will train it with your staff, and you will just, you know, in the digital world, see if all the engineering capabilities have been ticked. You will implement, and as you implement, you will see maybe there are different configurations which you didn't know, you didn't consider. So you will have a feedback loop again into your digital twin, and the digital twin, you can adjust it again and see if I, you know, change certain KPIs, what is the impact on others? Because one change can have unintended consequences for other processes going forward. And if you just have that team working on it, they might not have the full transparency of where, you know, overlaps are of their work with other areas in the plant. And in the digital simulation, you are able to do that. So that kind of feedback loop where you permanently have new information from site going in. Maybe, you know, for instance, you have new equipment coming in during the operation of the plant, or you have heat sensors which are changing. So that can all come back and tells you, does it have an impact on my other assets? Do I need to consider some alerts? And so you can plan really how your operation is run, and also what kind of maintenance routine potentially is required, because maybe if you are so much more productive, you need also to do more maintenance because your equipment is used much, much more than maybe in a less efficient way. Yeah.
Mm. Ending off, and I think it helps us to bring everything together, right? You probably get asked this question a lot. You're a technology leader. How do you keep up? Because this is a rapidly changing environment. Once upon a time, it was all about programming and coding. Then it became data analytics. Then it became big data. Then it became cloud. Then it became, now it's AI. And inside AI, there's all of these different applications. How do you stay at the cutting edge? Because at the end of the day, whether it's public sector or private sector, there's a constituency that's looking to you and in engagements, you know, for guidance. And, you know, they'll come and say, hey, but these big problems, what's the right technology for us and all of that? Obviously, you don't have to go out and implement this stuff, but you at least have to have a firm grasp of what's going on. And out of all that, what's your fascination in this space? What's the piece that is entertaining you the most right now?
Well, I mean, look, for once, is we try to partner with a lot of companies, like, for instance, the Microsoft, the Googles, the Amazons, which are currently in different fields active than we are. But they also have figured out that, you know, if they want to grow, they need to go into the industrial space. So we come from the industrial space, or they come from the IT side, we come from the OT side, the operational technology. And in our context, we have a lot of knowledge and installed base in the field of operation. And it's not easy, because in, you know, when you think about a vertical like, for instance, mining, but also other verticals, you will need to have a lot of know-how how that industry works, because that makes your product good. And if you come from the IT side, you know, it's not as specific to a process. There are maybe differences between the different companies, but in general, you know, a SAP system would give you like an accounting rule and you will customize it, but it will be still most probably an accounting system if you have it like that. While, you know, in a mining operation, that's really a bespoke, it's not a standard because it's, everything is different. It's, some is big, some is small, some mine iron ore, some diamonds, some gold. Yeah. So the process per se is completely different in order to get your product onto the market. And so partnering up with other companies which are playing in a different league helps us as well to stay relevant, because that makes us to understand what is going on in industries which are not yet attached to what we do, and having from them the feedback what they think and what they believe is, you know, the next level of technology to come. So that's one of the strategy. And as I said, our acquisitions particular, which we did over the last years, are very much in the software environment, niche operations, which are specialized in, for instance, simulation software. So that it's something what is absolutely palatable for our customer to think, I want to have a solution from Siemens. And we will also help them to implement it. But what keeps us excited is when you just look at it, I mean, what's going on currently and how we are able with our technology to shape what certain industry will look like in the future. That is something which we find extremely exciting, and that we still, as a company with more than 170 years existence, are able to set the trend when it comes to industry applications. That is our core motivation.
All right. So that's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one, just understanding what's happening in the mining space, especially on the back of the Mining Indaba, which just wrapped up this week. Just getting a sense, you know, around some of the things, you know, that, you know, Sabina was seeing when she was there, and, you know, some of the things that, you know, she's reporting back, you know, include the fact that, you know, the industry is quite receptive, you know, of technology and trying to understand how they can use it in a better way. We did mention that fact that this is one of those industries that has been quite embraced, you know, of technology. They have an interesting stat and expectation that by 2040, at around 40% of you know, mining equipment will be autonomous. You know, and a lot of that, you know, those operations will be done, you know, by machines, and that falls into a bigger debate, you know, around, you know, as you reduce your human capital, how do you repurpose your human capital? How do you reskill people and actually, you know, feed into maybe higher order, you know, processes such as beneficiation? And in all that, you have to have a layer of technology that is helping to make all of that happen. Also getting into, you know, discussions around some of the big trends right now, you know, such as AI, how that all of that is going to help with decision making, how that feeds into making existing solutions better, you know, such as, you know, the simulations and the digital twins that we were talking about. And she also mentioned, you know, the fact that you can actually just arrive at the answer much faster now. You know, you don't have to watch the whole video, read the whole book, and you can get, you know, to some of those, you know, critical, you know, decision making elements much faster than what you were able to do, you know, back in the day. And then lastly, just giving us a sense of the things that, you know, she's looking at, and, you know, some of the things that are keeping them excited as an industry. And, you know, talking about the fact that as a company that is deeply industrial, it helps to have partnerships where you can help, where you can come together with people that have expertise, you know, in IT and software, and actually see how you can put that together, because it's a fast evolving space and you can't be doing anything and everything. You have to, you know, come together so that you can service the clients and the customers in the best ways going forward. So that's been it. We were in conversation with Sabina Dalamo, who is the CEO of Siemens in the region. Sabina, thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you very much. It was lovely.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.